Final hour, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Talking Titans to start the hour. We will get into the Preds in this final hour. We didn't talk Predators at all yesterday. They had an interesting weekend, to say the least, in Bridgestone Arena. Crazy game on Saturday night against the Kings, and then came up just short against the Stars on Sunday. They end their five-game homestand tonight against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jeff says, guys, in my opinion, what the Titans should focus on more than a coach is finding the experienced personnel that are proven at finding and evaluating real on-field talent to draft and knowing when not to acquire rehabbing players on the free market. Most of the coaches you have mentioned can likely win several games with a decent roster, but none will win with the likes of this current team. It's a very good point from Jeff of, yes, the coach is important, and the coach is important because you need to develop Cam Ward. But the biggest issue with this team, of course, is the lack of talent depth on the roster.
Experience.
it goes back to three straight horrible draft classes. 2020, 2021, 2022. You have one player left from those draft classes. That should be the baseline of your team right now, is those players at the end of their rookie deals and whoever you signed to keep around from that 2020 class. That should be your team right now. And you have one player, Chigakonkwo. And guess what? When you miss on those players in the draft, that's why you have to go trade for L'Jarius Sneed, because Christian Fulton wasn't very good. That's why you have to sign Dan Moore to an $80 million contract, because Nicholas Petit-Frere and Isaiah Wilson didn't pan out. You have to spend $90 million on Calvin Ridley because Treylon Burks didn't pan out. Like, that is why you have to go to these free agent deals and these trades to fix the mistakes, or at least try and paint over the mistakes of those draft classes. And the only way this team's going to get better is if they start drafting better players. And it's easy enough to be said, but at least it looks like the last two draft classes have some promise. This is a big draft coming up. You got to get a lot of picks, and you got to hit on most of them.
Yeah, massive. You mentioned a good point about the paint, trying to paint over all the bad picks.
Yeah.
They're using primer right now. You see right through it. It's just the clear coat. They're just using clear coat.
The Titans have been putting lipstick on a pig for the last 4 years of like, oh, well, yeah, we drafted Caleb Farley in the first round, and we drafted Treylon Burks in the first round. We drafted Isaiah Wilson. Let's just gloss things up. Dan Moore, L'Jarius Sneed, Calvin Ridley. It'll be fine. Throw it out there.
On paper, this is a great team.
That's what it is. You miss those three first-round picks at those three premium positions, and you've now had to invest $250 million in multiple picks in trying to replace those players. And it's hard to fix those problems quickly. And we've seen that over the past couple of years.
Again, you got to rip the Band-Aid off and just say, the buck stops here. We're done. We're going to start from scratch.
And it seems like that's where the Titans are. And it's disappointing because you've already been bad for 3 years, and now it seems like they're finally embracing the rebuild. But there's really no other choice at this point. You're in a spot where if you don't tear it down and start over, you're probably never going to be good again. Matt in Nashville made me giggle. The Titans have a huge loft problem. Lack of farting talent.
Yeah, that's good, Matt. That's pretty
that's
darn good.
Man. That's good for Matt in Nashville. The Titans have a loft problem. I like it. I did want to mention, we got a couple minutes in this segment. I've been teasing, talking about the crowd on Sunday.
You're good.
It's going to be hilarious. I mean, I don't know if there will be a smaller crowd in the NFL this season than what we see on Sunday. What incentive is there for Titans fans to go out to this game? It's going to be in the 50s. The team's not good. Sunday afternoon, you at least get an extra hour of sleep on Saturday, so maybe an extra hour to get ready for the game, but no one's going to go out there from the Titans side.
Nah.
And the Chargers don't travel. Like, this isn't the Steelers or the Bills or the Patriots where you're going to see Chargers logos all over Broadway Friday and Saturday, and then they're going to fill up the stadium on Sunday. You'll see some. There will be some Chargers fans in attendance. But That stadium seats about 70, right? 15 is low. It's going to be higher than that. I'm going to say they're not going to announce the actual attendance. It'll be tickets sold or whatever.
Right.
But I'm going to say bodies in the building, I'll go 25 to 30,000.
Bodies in the building? That's high, Jake.
I mean, it's not even half capacity.
I'm leaning less.
You think less?
I think like 20,000. 20,000 to 15,000, what you said originally. Look, TSU plays Lindenwood Lions this Saturday at Nissan Stadium. I feel like there's going to be more people at that game.
No chance.
You don't think?
The NFL is still king, and there's always people who want to go out as a social event, right? Like,
right.
There are people who aren't big Titans fans who it's like, oh, what do we want to do Sunday? Let's go to the Titans game. You'll have those fans. There will be the diehards who go to every single game. But the casual fan who's not a season ticket holder, who likes to go to some games but doesn't like to go to all of them,
right,
has no reason to go to this game on Sunday.
No. I mean, it's going to be chilly. It's probably going to be windy. And do you want to pay $45 for 3 chicken tenders and fries? I'm all right.
Yeah.
I'll pass.
I'll
go order that at a fast food place and sit on my back porch and
watch the game.
Front row seat.
I think 20 is a little low because, again, you do have – there will be tourists who want to go see a game, and there will be just your, again, casual fans who maybe bought tickets before the season of like, oh, what game do we want to go to? Let's go to the Chargers game. But it's not – I would say less than half for sure. Less than half of the stadium is going to be full.
Man, I hate to say this, but I hope it's like 20,000. I just want to see an empty stadium. Because honestly, that would set a precedent of you're at rock bottom. You have really hit rock bottom. That would show the front office saying, look, we got to do something about this.
Right. That is the way to show ownership that you're not happy with the product is don't show up to the games. Don't buy concessions. And soon enough, that money starts talking. And, they got to turn it around at some point. Nevada Josh says tickets are cheap. Let's see. 2 tickets, $25 right now. And that's on Tuesday. It's going to go down. It's going to go down. Josh sent a sign from game day this weekend. Vandy could beat the Titans. I will always be on the side of no college team could beat any professional team. But in terms of who's more fun to watch, for sure, it's Vanderbilt.
Jake, look.
It's not even debatable.
Really?
No.
Not even debatable.
Do we want to talk about this coming up next? Because this is my favorite debate to have.
What's the debate?
Whether any college team ever could beat any pro team ever.
Well, I think Ohio State might be favored on a neutral field versus the Titans.
Absolutely.
I'm just kidding.
Not.
I'm just kidding. No, I don't think there's a college team that'll beat an NFL team.
I honestly think Vandy would beat Tennessee. Titans.
Okay.
We'll talk. You think Vanderbilt would beat the Tennessee Titans?
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll talk about this coming up.
Absolutely.
Gover texted in. He says, guys, I cover Titans games and I don't want to go Sunday. I'm sure that's the sentiment around a lot of Titans media. It is not fun football to watch. It's not good football. 615-737-1825. I gotta dispute this from Nick because it is anybody who says that a college team could beat a pro team, there's an easy way to dispute it, and we'll do it next.
I told Ethan to clip it.
Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you. We are going to talk some Preds towards the end of the show, but Nick Frazier has brought up one of the points that somebody makes around sports that I cannot let go by idly, saying that he thinks that Vanderbilt could beat the Tennessee Titans. And I love Vanderbilt's playing some great football right now. But let's say Ohio State, as Parker brought up, number one team in the country. Titans, I would argue, are the worst team in the NFL. How many NFL players are on the Ohio State Buckeyes right now?
Probably a handful of them.
Say 20.
Yeah.
That sound about right, Parker? 20?
Yeah.
20 NFL players? How many NFL players are on the Tennessee Titans right now?
53.
Yeah. That's the one thing I always say to that is you got and also these are grown men out there.
True.
Like, you got Kevin Zeitler, who as much as Kevin Zeitler has struggled this year against professionals, Kevin Zeitler against a 20-year-old kid, grown man strength, I think he would absolutely destroy him. T'Vondre Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons in the middle against a college offensive line, Titans would be favored by 45 points against any college team.
I see that. Like, look, 9 times out of 10, Titans would probably win that game. But this is that one time. Okay. This year, with all the injuries included on both sides of the spectrum, this Vanderbilt team would probably win by, I'd say, 7 points.
I can't even entertain this.
It is – This is like when somebody texted in and said the Savannah Bananas could beat the Nashville Sounds.
Now that like, one, I had to disagree with. I would disagree with that.
An NFL team versus a college team, I don't care who it is. Take the 0-16 Lions against 2019 LSU. The Lions win that game by 20 points.
I had to put you on the spot. Can you read me off the Titans secondary, current secondary?
I mean, Jalen Armour Davis, right? Daryl Baker, uh-huh. Samuel Womack, uh-huh. Marcus Harris, uh-huh. Amani Hooker, Xavier Woods.
Okay.
How many of those guys have played in the NFL?
I mean, all of them.
All of them. How many of Ohio State's wide receivers have played in the NFL? I understand Jeremiah Smith's good, and they would probably double cover Jeremiah Smith. There is absolutely zero chance that Ohio State could score more than 14 points against the Titans.
Really?
And the Titans' offense would light up that Ohio State defense.
Chase has chimed in on this. He just texted, Nick, we drug test, man.
Again, I've had people call in before and say, I need to lay off gummies. I need to stop drinking before 7 a.m. I don't do drugs and or do I drink often. I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of people think I'm a crazy guy. Maybe I am.
I mean, Nevada Josh on the text line is on your side. He says, I would bet my house that the Titans would lose to Ohio State and they would lose to the top 10 college football teams. So you're not alone in this.
Like, do I think Oregon could possibly put up a good fight against the Titans and maybe win more than once? Sure.
I think there's a scenario. That's why they play the games. But like not 9 out of 10, 999 out of 1,000, the NFL team wins, and it's not even close.
All right, with the current Titans roster, that's the one I'm looking at. Sure, there may be 53 guys on that roster that are NFL players, but are they qualified NFL players?
But they're...
Like, are they good enough to really be on a 53? We were talking about this earlier with Roger McCreary. Like, he's a decent player on a really, really bad team.
It's a horrible NFL team.
And I get it. Like, they are NFL players. But are they the same caliber as college players? Not as quite. But yet, college players, I think, have a little bit more of a upper edge.
It's less about the high-end talent. Because, of course, the Titans would take Jeremiah Smith on their team right now. They take Caleb Downs on their team right now.
Correct.
But the depth. And the strength, like, you're going to have 25 to 30-year-olds on the defensive line going against 19, 20, 21-year-olds.
Fresh hamstrings versus old ones. I don't know what to say.
See, you're one of the first people I've ever seen back this up. Because
he's doubling down, he's tripling down, quadruple down.
Didn't say that, but
he is doubling down on it and saying, yeah, I think you say Vandy would beat the Titans by 7.
It'd be a one-score game.
Oh, my goodness.
It'd be probably 3 points.
Mark says, I feel the only sport it is even a remote possibility would be in baseball. Paul Skeens, when at LSU, could be a dominant in one game against the worst MLB team. What say you? I agree. I think if you're looking for any sport where a college team could beat a pro team, it is baseball. It's unlikely, very unlikely. But I'll use a softball example. Angela Tincher was a pitcher at Virginia Tech back in the 2000s, and she no-hit Team USA. Like, again, softball, baseball. Like, right. If you have one dominant pitcher, there's a chance for you to win that game. Football, when it's one-on-one matchups and you got to impose your will on somebody, I'm taking the guys who are grown men who have played against grown men for years against the college kids.
Look, I'm not bringing Tim Hasselbeck into this as he is helping defend my honor in this, but he did say a few weeks ago the Titans should look at Clark Lee as a head coach option. I mean, he did say that on our airwaves. And again, if that's a guy that's played in the NFL saying that Clark Lee is a good head coach and possibly should make a jump to the NFL in some aspects, I still think that means he builds a strong culture with Vandy and could possibly beat a team that's depleted like the Titans.
There is a difference between a coach who can make the jump from college to pro than players who could match up against, like...
But look, if that coach is able to, I guess, rally those guys along and win an X amount of games in college, I still think he could easily beat the Titans. by 3 points.
Is Nevada Josh on drugs too?
No, Nevada Josh is big on this take from Nick.
It's you and
Nevada Josh against the world.
I like
Nevada. We've gone
Josh.
Off on a complete guy. Tangent, but I can't let it go when somebody says that a college team could beat an NFL team. It is not even remotely the spread in that game would be at least 4 touchdowns.
Sure. Okay. I don't care. That's fine. It doesn't beat out heart and grit, man. And I tell you what, Vandy, they have more heart and grit. They have a bunch of Xavier Restrepos on that roster, whereas the Titans, heart and grit. I'm not saying actual caliber players. Hold the phones. I said heart and grit, okay? Titans right now, they just got guys collecting checks.
3735 says, Vandy's line is grown men. They are graduate students. They are still like 23 years old, and as far as I know, none of them are like high-level NFL prospects. Tavondre Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons would go through like, and the Vandy line is great. Like, yeah. I'm not trying. This is not trying to trash Vandy or any college team.
Yeah,
like they're very talented for the level they're playing at. But Jeffrey Simmons is an all-pro defensive tackle. I don't care what college player you try and block him with. They have zero chance.
Jeffrey
Simmons would have 8 sacks.
The current roster, excluding Jeffrey Simmons and Calvin Ridley because they're hurt, I'm including injuries in this
scenario.
Oh, okay,
so you're saying the team that they ran out on Sunday against the Colts.
Yes, I said this at the beginning of this segment. Yeah.
Okay, they win by 35 instead of 45.
Oh, excuse me. Come on now. I mean, still, this is a 3-7 point ball game.
I mean, literally just run behind Peter Skoronski every single time.
Fine with me.
I respect the opinions here because the Titans are really bad, but 5 touchdowns, I would say. Like, final score, 52-14 would be my guess.
Wow, 52-14? I mean, oh, boy. It's got to be closer than that, man. It has to be.
I mean, we've got
no way.
1137 said a while back, before we even started this conversation, he said, TSU versus the Titans, winner gets the new stadium.
I'm in. I know that one a little bit more.
Well, yeah, you go to side. FCS. Yeah.
I think the Titans would beat Vanderbilt by 30 or more points.
Easy.
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 It's not even a contest.
Titans would beat Ohio State by 25-plus, minimum.
That's what the line would be. Titans would be favored by 25 minimum.
I wonder if an odds maker has ever put this out.
Like, Jake made the comment, like, sure, the defensive line of Vanderbilt or offensive line of Vanderbilt, they're young, they're 23-year-old graduates, I get all that. They're not being looked at by NFL teams. But, I mean, after that game, they would be getting looked at by NFL teams. I'll tell you that right now. I'm just putting that out there.
I wanted to see if somebody has ever put out, like, a hypothetical line of, like, if you put the worst NFL team against the best college team, what would it be? I haven't seen it, but
I was trying to have ChatGPT give me a little simulation. It didn't really give me the right simulation I wanted. So,
it said the NFL team would blow them out.
Well, sort of. It was more of it had the active roster of like Jeffrey Simmons and Calvin Ridley. I went with current injury stipulation.
What did it say the score was going
to
be?
Well, the first score it gave me was 35-14, and Vandy was up after the first quarter 7-0.
Oh, wow.
And said Calvin Ridley scored a touchdown. It said here Pavia threw for 250, 1 touchdown, 1 interception.
That's hilarious.
Cedric Alexander had 90 yards rushing and a touchdown, and then Titans backup quarterback completes 18 of 28, 220 for 2 touchdowns.
I mean, it's not even Ohio State is a better example because that is a team full of 5 stars NFL prospects. And yes, they have the top end talent. Smith, Caleb Downs, all those guys probably going to be very talented NFL players. But that's maybe the top 10 guys on the team. Then you've probably got 10 to 15 guys who will be role players, depth at the NFL level. And then the rest of that roster are guys who are never going to play on Sundays. It's not going to be. It would not be close.
I just have to respectfully disagree.
All right, we'll leave it at that. You and Nevada Josh are on your island together. 615-737-1025.
I almost say is this Titans team right now that's so depleted and terrible. I think would lose 9 times, or they'd win 9 times out of 10. That one time though is today.
All right.
That's all I got to say.
We will agree to disagree. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's talk some Preds.
Wait.
Yeah.
We have a line. So it was put into ChatGPT, and it had the Titans winning 70-3.
There you go. 70-3. I said 52-14. 70-3 would not be out of the question. It would be pure domination.
That's a 2001. line right there.
Okay.
Ain't no way. Ain't no way.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's talk some Preds on the other side. Predators finishing up their homestand tonight against the Tampa Bay Lightning. We'll do it after this. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 the game. Next man up, 1025 the game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. Very interesting conversation in the last segment. Not one that I thought we were going to get to today, but the age-old question of could the worst NFL team beat the best college team? Yes, the answer is yes. They'd be favored by 67 points. Is that what we got from ChatGPT? And AI is always
70-3.
AI is always correct. So
seems like it. Hey, look, this Titans team is so bad they got me talking this way. I mean, it's crazy.
I mean, I can't blame you. It's really bad. It's not fun to watch. And I don't think it's going to be fun to watch on Sunday against the Chargers either. 615-737-1025.
Disclaimer, I do not do drugs for people that work here. I do not do drugs and or drink on the job.
Chase McCabe was a little bit concerned there after that take.
I don't know. We'll just have to bring out the drug test just to make sure.
Just to
make
be
sure.
Safe.
You'll find black coffee and apple cider vinegar.
All right. Well, those results will be read out next Tuesday on the show with Nick Frazier.
There you go.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to text or call, our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's talk Predators because they are a little bit more fun to watch.
Yes.
They are somewhat a boring team at times. They're not your high-flying offense that's going to score 5 goals a night. But this weekend was exciting with the Predators. Wild shootout win, 9 rounds against the Kings on Saturday. They do come up just short against Dallas. Really tough finish to that game with Dallas on the power play and borderline interference. Tyler Seguin took a shot, and I think it should have been called. And then a couple of seconds later, Mikko Rantanen puts it in the back of the net. It's 3-2, you lose. But Preds competitive with 2 playoff teams from a year ago. Stars are considered a Stanley Cup contender. Now you've got one more game on this homestand, a chance to get 6 points in 5 games on the homestand. You're just outside a playoff spot right now. They're inconsistent, but they're at least competitive right now early on in the season.
Absolutely. I mean, when you have a winning record and you're, you know, continually putting out a good product, I think that only bodes well going for you going forward. I mean, like you said, they just get one win and they kind of leapfrog 2 other teams, the Blackhawks and the Stars. So I think that's something to keep your eyes on. So overall, this team is kind of starting to gel with those young players and veteran players. Connor has made comments about that.
Yeah.
I think we're starting to see that. We'd like to see a little bit more out of Steven Stamkos, though. I mean, I don't know if it's the system and or him. Something's not clicking there, and something's got to click going forward.
Yeah, that is the one missing piece for this team is why is Steven Stamkos – is it just the age? Like, is he just lost a step and not quite as good as he was, or does it just not fit here? And – I'd love to see more from him. I think you've seen more from Marchessault when he's been out there so far this year, which is great, especially considering the comments he made at the end of last year. Like, you need him to buy in, and it seems like he has been more productive. Steven Stamkos, you're still waiting for that moment where it clicks for him.
Yeah, and I don't know if the Roman Josi injury or whatever that is kind of plays a factor into all this chemistry-wise, but, I mean, you just – you get guys in the offseason of Purbix and Hague, and
yeah,
you're waiting for all that to kind of click together. It's just all the stars are not lining up at the same time, and you kind of need that, I think, for Stamkos to get that spark that everybody wants.
Yeah.
I think everything has to line up for him to really get going.
And Hague is back, which is huge.
Right.
Getting him healthy. Matthew Wood got healthy. He's looked good in his first couple of games. So maybe you do start to see this team come together. They've kind of been treading water at this point in the season, staying in the mix. But you're going to need a stretch where you know, not a 19-game point streak.
Right.
But if you could, you've still got, what, you played 4, so I think you still have 5 of your next 7 at home, even though the homestand ends tonight. Put together a couple of wins and start racking up those points early on in the season, and you have a chance to hang in there and be in the playoff chase. American Thanksgiving is that dividing line. You want to be in the playoffs at American Thanksgiving.
Right.
You got about a month to get there. In fact, almost exactly a month to get there. So going to be an important couple of weeks for the Preds. This is a big one tonight against Tampa, and we'll continue to talk some Preds. But I think we've started something here. We got some callers on the phone lines who want to chime in on your thoughts, Nick.
Oh,
let's go to Jeff to start things off. Jeff, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk a little Titans, more or less. get a push from the media and you guys' help for Amy Adams Skrunk to sell this organization so that we may have an opportunity moving forward to win. I'll hang up, listen to what you got, but I appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Jeff. She's not going to sell the team.
No, absolutely not.
It's if you want a change in ownership, the only thing that I could see happening is if she handed over control to Kenneth.
Yeah.
But I don't see that being a priority right now, and they're not going to sell the team. I don't know if it was written in Bud's will that, like, you can never sell the team, but I would expect that is the expectation for his children, is that you will never sell this team.
Yeah,
it will stay in the Adams family.
The Adams family.
Yeah.
There you go. It's like a family heirloom at this point.
Right. I mean, it's his legacy.
Yeah.
And even if it's not explicitly stated from Bud to his children, like, you will never sell the team, I think they know that that's the expectation, is that this is the Adams family. This is their, yeah, it's been a horror story over here for the last couple of years. 615-737-1025. Let's go to Carl P. on the phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Carl, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Comment on the Titans and college. My comment as far as the Adams family getting rid of the program. Guys, I'm just old enough to realize that a lot of times when an NFL team is in rebuilding status, I mean coliseums and what on, they do not be in the top average of the league because of construction. And when a team's under construction, as far as coliseum wise, it brings a lot of revenue people into your town from out of town, and that construction bit plays a role in the win-loss situation. And that's on the business side of things. But players versus college versus NFL, during this era of NIL, a lot of the college players are 24 to 28-year-old. And if you got an average player from 24 to 28-year-old, they will be able to compete against some of those younger NFL teams as the transition grows from the older people staying in college a little longer versus the ones that jump out of college and go to the NFL a little sooner. So, yes, right now there will be some comparison of the worst NFL team to your best college teams, and a few of those college teams will prevail. That's my comment. Thank y'all for taking my call.
Thanks for the call, Carl. You got nice another call. One on your side.
Nice call, Carl. Love it.
Do you know why these college kids stay so long at the college level?
Yes, because they can't play.
Because they're not going to play in the NFL.
But now there's a different incentive now, Jake. You can make money. You make more money.
I understand. They make more money playing college football because they're better at college football, and they couldn't stack up against NFL teams. Thank you very much. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We've got one more segment. We will get to all of your phones before we get out of here and wrap things up on the other side. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Final segment, next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly wrapping things up on this Tuesday. Chasing Big Joe coming up after us, live from Tennessee Brewers. So excited for that. Tomorrow, Corey Curtis will be in. I will be here for the first 2 hours, and then Dr. Crane going to fill in for me for the last hour. So a little bit of a mix and match tomorrow, but Corey Curtis in for his usual Wednesday appearance.
Should be fun.
Should be a lot of fun. We'll talk Titans. We'll talk college football. We'll talk everything. Maybe some Nashville SC as well.
That's right.
They're getting ready for playoff game number two coming up this weekend. Now Corey, also big on the boys in gold over there.
Need a win.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do, to keep their season alive. So excited for that. Let's go back to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Larry has been waiting patiently. Larry, good morning. Go ahead.
Hey, I have a couple comments real quick. I'm tired of these callers and people on social media be like, man, we need a new owner. We need a new owner. Yes, we do need a new owner, but the NFL makes so much money for these owners. It's like a gold mine. These owners hardly ever sell these franchises. One other quick comment. I'm tired of also people getting on social media and talking about Diego Pavia's numbers. Vanderbilt's offense is not set up like a Tennessee's offense. Vanderbilt tries to run the football, take off time off the clock. If you watch their games, they snap the ball between 1 and 2 seconds almost every snap. So people comparing Pavia's numbers to Ty Simpson's or Aguilar is just absolutely ridiculous. Thanks. Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Larry. That, two good points. Yes, she's not going to sell the team. Like, that's the amount of money that you make, you went through it. They're operating at a huge deficit, but you get all that money from the NFL and you're making $100 million a year, basically. They're not selling the team. And I'm glad you brought that up on Pavi because we didn't get to that today. And I've seen a lot of that, too, of posting the passing stat line from Diego Pavia on Saturday against Missouri, which I don't think Diego played his best game on Saturday, but he still made the plays necessary to win. And that's the difference between scouting box scores and actually watching the games. If you watch Vanderbilt play, you can see that Diego Pavia is the one pushing this thing forward. The team is talented, but they're not the number nine team in the country without Diego Pavia. Is that enough to win him the Heisman? I don't know, but I think the way he's played so far has him right in the conversation to have a seat in New York at the end of the year.
Absolutely. I mean, he's elevated his team around him. Like you said, he is the main core piece of this puzzle. And if you take him out of the equation, yeah, like that's a prime reason as to why he should be a Heisman candidate. Who cares if the university put out a poll for him to be a Heisman candidate?
Every single school does it.
Yes. Like, who cares? Like, that's simply college for you. Like, that's going to happen.
Colorado sent out 2 gift boxes to every Heisman voter last year for Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. Like, this is what you do. You have a Heisman campaign. It costs money to go win the Heisman, right? Like, these schools have to go out and advocate for their players. Because if you don't, like, yeah, sometimes the stats just speak for themselves. When you've got Derrick Henry or
Reggie Bush.
Right. These guys who are, they're the clear favorite. And it's like, all right, yeah, they did it all for themselves. But a lot of the times when you're splitting hairs and you've got Fernando Mendoza, who obviously is having a great year at Indiana, Ty Simpson, great year at Alabama. Diego's right in that thick of things. Nashville native Marcel Reed should be in that conversation too. All those guys are having great seasons, and your average Heisman voter may not be watching every single game that these guys play and watching every single snap. You have to go and advocate for your guy. And that's what Vandy's doing. And I'm sure Texas A&M is going to be doing the same thing for Marcel Reed.
Absolutely. For Marcel Reed, having the success he's having early on in his college career is impressive. But to do it with A&M and they're undefeated, it adds so much more to the equation. Because, again, like Pavia, take them out of the equation, they're not an undefeated ball club.
Yeah, I think this is a Vandy team that has enough talent to be probably a bowl-eligible team with just anybody at quarterback, but they're a college football playoff contender because Diego Pavia is playing quarterback.
Exactly.
Like, go watch that LSU game again. There are at least 4 or 5 plays in that LSU game where he should have been dead to rights, play should have been over, and he somehow makes something out of nothing and gets Vandy a first down or gets Vandy in the end zone. The touchdown run, you may look at that and say, oh, no one was within 15 yards of him. Like, all he did was find a hole and run. Look at the way he anticipates the pressure off the backside. Like, most quarterbacks, that's a strip sack. Guy comes around, knocks the ball out of your hand, and boom, this is a brand new ball game. Instead, Pavia feels the pressure, steps up, and he's got a cakewalk to the touchdown.
Sounds like a quarterback that could win a football game.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, watch the games. Don't just scout the box scores.
I was going to go a direction with it, but I'm not going that direction. We've already gone down that avenue. It just sounds like a quarterback.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yep. Just saying. But no, overall, like, yeah, he's the primary reason Vandy's where they're at right now.
Yeah. Yep. And I'm not saying he's going to win the Heisman, but acting like he shouldn't even be in the conversation is just as crazy.
Yeah.
I really like Diego, and I know that people don't like the confidence and bordering on arrogance at times, but I think he goes about it the right way. Like, he is clearly confident in his abilities, and he's going to tell you that, but it's not like he's putting himself in front of the team. He came out on Saturday after the game and basically said, like, I shouldn't be here talking to you. Our defense won us that football game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's exactly what Vanderbilt needed. Yes, he's confident, and he's going to tell everybody that he can beat you on any given Saturday, but he's a culture builder in that locker room who's going to pull everyone forward with him, not just want the praise and the accolades for himself.
Absolutely. I mean, again, you go back to the stats and you try to compare it to Ty Simpson, whatever. Yeah. Like, if you just leave all that out of the equation and look at actual Pavia's just impact on this team, minus the stats, that's where I think, again, people are going to be like, oh, you got to check out the stats for Heisman voting. I'm like, yeah, but look at what he's done without all that. Again, to the caller, I think it was Larry that said it. Vandy runs, they operate differently.
Right.
They run it down to 2 seconds on the clock.
Yes.
Perfect.
And they're not throwing the ball 45 times a game. That's not how they're trying to win football games. But when you need a play, 3rd and 2, 4th and 1, I don't know if there's a quarterback in the country you'd want other than Diego Pavia. When you need one play to help your team win a football game.
Exactly. And I go back to what I mentioned earlier about efficiency when it comes to the college football playoff rankings. The offensive play efficiency, Vandy ranks 7th in the nation at that. I believe it's 86.4. Don't quote me, but it's 86-something. Yeah. Like, that has a factor into this as well. Not just for college football playoff implications, but for a guy like Diego Pavia and the Heisman as well.
Yeah. There's a lot that goes into it, and Diego, he has the opportunities in front of him to go and prove it on a national stage. You're playing on national TV on ABC this weekend against Texas. Likely going to be playing on national television in Knoxville at the end of the year. You've got chances to go have your Heisman moment and cement it. Right now, he's in the conversation. All those quarterbacks are going to have to play strong down the stretch to see who wins it. That'll just about do it for us on this Tuesday. Always appreciate you coming in, Nick.
Thank you. It's always fun.
It's always fun to have Dr. Crane in studio for a Tony Tuesday. And again, tomorrow, Corey Curtis going to be with us for the full show. Me and Nick Frazier are going to split things up a little bit. I got to get out of here at 11 tomorrow. So Nick Frazier will be back on the program tomorrow. And make sure to keep listening. Chasing Big Joe show coming up next from Tennessee Brew Works. That'll do it for us. For Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, I'm Jake Lyman. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 9. Chasing Big Joe coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.